Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and that is at 1:20. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is October 3rd. And the asset class that really stands out today is precious metals, because silver pulled back by 34 cents. It's back below $19. Gold went all the way down to 1,309, which is the lower side of its short-term range, but it is still unwinding. It's almost completely unwound, but not quite yet unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. It's a similar story for silver. Platinum is now trading below its 200-day moving average. This is not the first time it has dipped below the 200-day EMA, but it is testing now the 1,000 level, and that's a big psychological level. It did bounce off the low today by about $5, but it was down 22 overall at and closing out around 1,011. And palladium, which really has been setting the pace in any kind of advance, and there has been a distinct absence of an advance for most of the precious metals, but palladium has been setting the pace, but it was also down today, and there's a short-term overbought condition there, so there is the potential that we're going to get at least some unwinding of that. And against that background, the dollar was firm, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion against the majority of currencies. But it has been ticking a little bit higher every day, and that is acting as a headwind to the precious metals. But perhaps I think it would be more accurate to say that they are pulling back because, generally speaking, there is less appetite for a safe haven, because bond prices were also a little bit weaker in here today, and we are seeing that yields are moving higher. Now, if equity yields are around 2 and a bit% on the S&P 500, and the 10-year yield is around 1.6%, well, there's still a compelling argument for why one should be looking at equities. However, if, for example, and I think this that there are two big indices to watch out there as lightning rods for potential catalysts. One is the dollar index, the other is our government bond yields, because I don't think anyone's really worried about government bond yields trading at 1.6%. That's not the point at all. The broader picture is that there appears increasingly to be a higher reaction low in terms of those yields, which is a lower rally high in terms of the price. That if yields move above the 200-day moving average, that would break, and that is, of course, assuming that the yield is that move is sustained, then that would break a more than 2-year progression of lower rally highs and an overall downtrend in the yield, uptrend in the price. That could open the door to a yield of 2%, or even potentially at some point next year, perhaps even 3%. Well, then that would reverse the positive spread over equities, so it would represent a challenge. But it would also put upward pressure on the dollar. The interest rate differential, the yield differential between the U.S. and Europe would have to be unwound. That would very quickly be arbitraged out of the market by currency traders, so the dollar would begin to rally. Now, if the dollar were to rally, that would, of course, act as an additional headwind for precious metals. But then we have to ask ourselves, what would that mean for equities? It would probably set off quite an impressive recovery, or potentially even catch-up move, at least in nominal terms, for European and Japanese equities. We're obviously not there yet, but these are the kinds of things that are potential outcomes if yields do continue to rally, and if the dollar index were to push back up towards 100 and potentially even break out. If that were indeed the case, then we could anticipate that the export sector for the US would come under pressure. But considering that exports represent less than 20% of the market cap of Wall Street, then the relative strength of the dollar and the quantity of money that would flow into the country, chasing that yield, could potentially be a positive overall for the stock market. When we look at where we are right now, then the S&P was able to trim today's decline. It was only down about a third of a percent. Now, What it needs to do is to break out to new recovery highs. It's currently trading at 2160, and the issue that it has is that it's been ranging for a month, and it has taken almost a month to recoup the decline that it did in a day in the middle of September. So there is still a certain amount of worry being expressed by investors, and that's despite the fact that the index is trading above the underlying range. It's trading in the region of all-time highs, and it has so f far this consolidation has been orderly, but it really does need to sustain a move to new recovery highs to really reassert medium-term demand dominance and begin to convert some of those skeptics. It was a mixed day in Europe. Now, the German index was closed for the reunification holiday, and by and large, it was a mixed performance overall. But the relative weakness of the pound over the weekend, we had Theresa May outlining her timetable for beginning negotiations on leaving the Eurozone, or excuse me, for leaving the EU. And anticipating that it is going to take a couple of years, saying very clearly that they are just going to integrate European law into UK law, so that will ensure that there is at least symmetry, but that the UK will be taking back control of its borders. The finance minister also reiterated that he was going to continue to aim for a corporate tax rate of 17% by 2020. That would suggest that they are not going to attempt to compete on a corporate tax rate of 15%, which would be a rather aggressive move. But I think there is a lot of negotiation still to happen, and we could have see what we're really starting to see now are sort of outline positions. And of course, and Donald Trump will tell anyone who wants to listen that to begin a negotiation, you go in with a big ask and be willing to come down afterwards. And I suspect that we're getting a certain amount of that from the UK right now. But what it is doing is adding some additional selling pressure to the pound. And the pound was right down to test its lows in here today. It has trimmed that decline very slightly at the close, but what is required is an upward dynamic to confirm support in this area. If we do break below today's lows, then that would open up the way for an extension of the overall downtrend. And I suspect that the Treasury and the Bank of England would perhaps like a weaker pound to at least cushion any kind of economic fallout that could happen as a result of the negotiations that are planned for the first quarter of 2017. When we look more broadly, and particularly at the banking sector in Europe, there is a lot of work there yet. So, what is probably required is euro weakness to really start to act as a catalyst to get people interested once more. Japan today was up about almost 1%. The second section is still holding a move to new highs, but the yen has been relatively inert, and the Nikkei really does need to sustain a move above 17,000 to signal that the action is starting to return there. The Hang Seng continues to outperform the Chinese indices and was up 1.25% today. What is beginning to become apparent, and I'll review a number of these shares tomorrow, but in tomorrow's commentary, I just didn't get around to it today, was that you're seeing gambling stocks, luxury goods stocks, and travel stocks beginning to exhibit or have been exhibiting relative strength. That's generally an indication that the Chinese consumer is reasonably healthy. Despite the fact that the Chinese market is closed just about all of this week on the mainland, I think that there's potentially an argument that people are beginning to get interested in China once more, and not least because it is not an expensive market overall. And despite the fact that the the precious metals were weak in here today. The broader commodity complex remains reasonably firm. Today was not a particularly firm day, but the mining and resources sector overall is on a recovery trajectory. So the ASX 300 resources index in Australia moved to a new recovery high in here today. The broad ASX 200 was up about just a little bit more than 0.75%, but continues to rally back up towards its respective risk recovery high. And that by and large, commodity related shares continue to look like they are on recovery trajectories. And that is true both of the industrial metal miners or steel companies, a select few coal companies, and the S&P 500 oil and gas exploration and production index moved to or at least moved to a new recovery high on Friday and held on to that gain in here today, but it's leading the oil price. So I continue to think that the most likely outcome for oil is ranging, but we already are seeing that a number of companies are already hedging their production. So that will tell us that that's where their break evens are. If they're breaking even at current prices, then they have an incentive to produce more. And that could hold us in a range overall, but it also suggests that oil companies can make money at these levels, and that is helping to support their prices. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today, and I'm going to wish all the best to all of you.